Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com, that's Mood.com, has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep, and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code DARKTOPIC. I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. I think I might have taken one earlier. I got to hurry this up. They knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling no worse for wear. And their epic euphoria gummies, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your crappy mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for almost anything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal, and each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code DARKTOPIC. So head to mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code DARKTOPIC at checkout to save 20% off on your first order.
Can we talk something else? Can we talk about something else?
Hello out there. Welcome to Dark Topic. I'm your host, Jack Luna. This is a special episode of Dark Topic, Waking Up with Jack Luna. Often when, well, every day when I wake up, I'll check my messages, the social media, emails, and respond to listeners. You know, there's feedback on the episodes. There's case suggestions. There's just people saying thanks. There's people saying I hate you. There's people saying I love you. And, you know, I respond to all that. I take, you know, probably about the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes of my day doing that. And on occasion, I've had people reach out who are victims of crime themselves or are surviving family members of a victim from a crime. And they'll tell me how, you know, maybe an episode affected them. And usually it's really positive. This morning, I woke up and I had a message from this girl, Katrina, and she's a listener of Dark Topic, and she was responding to my intro from the last episode, what Jeffrey did, where I was talking about, I'm sorry, I'm out of breath here. She was talking about how the intro really spoke to her and how her sister's case had been covered a few times, and her sister was involved in a high-profile crime case. And we went back and forth a little bit, and at the end of it, I decided, hey, like, well, I asked, can I talk to you? Can we have a conversation? And for the first time, I'm going to speak to a family member of a victim in a heinous murder case and take it head on. I think that this will be really good for me to speak to somebody who is directly related to something and not have this huge disconnect that I, as a true crime podcaster, often have when telling these stories. Like I was talking about in my last intro, it's like you kind of like revel in like the gory details and you're like, wow, I could really work with this. I mean, this is going to be, people are going to be really shocked by this. This is going to be a great podcast. And I have guilt with that. And I've never been comfortable with it. And I've always wondered what it feels like to be a member of that family may be listening to this, right? And I've tried to be sensitive, but I don't think I've been as sensitive as I could be. And I think that having this conversation with an actual person who is affected directly by this horrific crime will do me good, and maybe all of us good to hear it. So, without further ado, I'm going to go into this pretty blind. I have a little bit of an idea what this case was about. I know that the killer's name was Brady Oestreich from Wyoming, Michigan. It was the Craigslist murders, not the Craigslist killer that they made a movie on and all that, but this is known as the Craigslist murders. The victim was Brooke Slocum, 18, and that was the sister of this of Katrina, who I'm about to call. And another victim, Charles Oppener. I'm nervous. Normally, I would take time to prepare for something like this and maybe have created an episode of Dark Topic. And I was thinking about doing that and then having her on and maybe having the interview as part of it. But, man, when I looked at this crime, it is really bad. And, frankly, I was a little hesitant to create it and then have her as a part of it and then have her family hear it because she's on it and her friends and all that. And if I overdo it or screw something up, I want to get it straight from her and see how this goes. So today I woke up and this is what fell on my plate. And now let's see how this goes. We're going to give Katrina a call.
Hello.
Hi, Katrina.
Hi, Jack.
do you go by Kat or straight up Katrina?
I usually go by Trina.
Trina? Oh, I fucked that up entirely. Okay, Trina.
Oh, no, it's totally fine.
I had two. I had three options, and I went for the first two. They were completely wrong. So, how you doing?
Had a work day out in this heat.
Yeah.
I'm talking to my favorite podcaster ever, so this is, like, really cool. Okay.
That's the best. You are, you're a postal service worker?
Yes, I am.
So you walk around, you deliver the envelopes?
Yep, all day.
All day. And you listen to podcasts, and you listen to Dark Topic, apparently?
Yes, I do.
That's so cool. I was actually going to try to call you on your route because I thought that'd be kind of fun having you walking around doing your thing. But then with what we're going to be talking about, I was like, what if she gets, you know, she's walking past people talking about this horrible shit. And I'm glad.
Right.
I'm glad that I got you at home. So I'm going to record this. Are you okay with me recording it right now?
Yeah, of course. That's fine.
Okay. So I mean, I'm just stumbling into this thing, and I watched a couple of documentaries on it, and this is way up there this is a really, really horrific case, and unfortunately it involves your sister. Is there anything you can maybe just tell me about yourself and about your sister first, if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah, of course. So she's my stepsister, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, so it doesn't even count as her sister.
It counts.
We get that a lot. But our parents got together when we were four.
Mm-hmm.
And so we grew up together. And honestly, at first, we did not get along.
Right.
We butt heads a lot. But she bonded with my younger brother really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like best friends. And then my dad, stepdad, also had another girl too, Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and Cassie got along really well, and then my brother Xavier and then Brooke got along really well.
Right.
So we had our moments where we, like, you know, we'd hang out and stuff, but typically we were just kind of like, okay, like, you're new, we're new, just button heads.
Yeah.
And then at some point in time, it clicked, and then we were best friends. We were attached at the hip, and we did everything together.
Oh.
Started off rough.
It did, eh? So you're older than her. You were older than her at the time?
No, we were the same age.
Same age.
She's 2 weeks. She was born February 7th, and then I was born on the 29th.
Okay.
Of February. So we're
real close.
Same age. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I never experienced that situation. I did have a stepfather. You know, and that situation is always a little bit odd, having people come into your house that aren't your kin, and you got to get to know them again. But I can't imagine what it's like to have to get along with brothers and sisters and all that stuff too. But like you said, as time went on, you guys became close.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely an adjustment, but we adjusted fairly well, I would like to think. You know.
Yeah. And you guys live in Michigan, right?
Yes, we do.
Was it Wyoming, Michigan?
Ionia. At the time, it was in Ionia.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All these news reports that I'm seeing say that this incident happened in Wyoming, Michigan. Are they getting it wrong, or did it?
Yeah. No, that is correct. So Ionia is like a half the size of Wyoming area. Mm-hmm. It's Wyoming and Grand Rapids, so they're kind of like combined over there. And Wyoming is like a half an hour, 45-minute drive.
Oh, I got you.
That's like our big city where we have the malls and all the fancier restaurants and everything.
Mm.
And Ionia is just like, you know, your Walmart and your Meijer and stuff.
Ah, I'm going to send you to one of those fancy restaurants when we're done, if your husband will be okay with it. We were just talking about that. He wants to go to an Applebee's.
What's that? He's like, nah, man, this is it. He goes, I don't think so. That's your favorite dude. Why would you do that? I was like, I don't know. Why would I do that? I know, right?
It's for me. And then he says, yeah, we'll go to an Applebee's. I'm like, I was thinking more like a Denny's. And you're like, no, not a Denny's. I don't want to deal with a Denny's. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, like, the one that is the closest that we used to go to is now trash.
Okay.
It's like the service is terrible and the people are terrible. But then there's one that's like a little bit further away. So, I mean, I guess we could totally do a Denny's.
Listen, we're not doing Denny's.
A little bit further of a drive.
We're not doing Denny's. We'll do something a little better than that. All right. So at this time when this all went down, and listen, when we're done this call, we'll talk. And I'm just kind of rolling right into this because I did a bit of an intro and all that. I thought we'd come in kind of hot on this.
All right. Cool.
All right. Yeah. So at the time when this all happened, your sister Brooke, she wasn't living at home?
No. So she started dating. So she was 18. It was the summer into our senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And she was dating a 25-year-old. I believe that is their correct age. I knew he was way older than she was.
That's what I got here, too.
Bro, that's weird that this guy who's that old is into you. And you met him down at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're young at that age, you do what you're going to want to do.
Yes. No, definitely. I think
no matter how much we told her. Sorry, I did not mean to talk over you.
Oh, God, don't worry about it. I'm doing it to you, too. It's a phone call. It's the fucking worst.
Right.
25 and 18. So they meet at a fair?
Yes. There's the Ionia Free Fair every year. And I guess they met down there, but this was the summer prior. So she was 17 when she met him initially.
Yeah.
So she wasn't even 18 yet.
Right.
And so that would have made him 24.
Yeah.
And so they met then. And then there were some things that he did and that we just did not sit right with any of us at all. We're like, dude, this is just not okay. Mm. He's way older than you are.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling all these lies. He's a priest.
A priest?
But he's not a priest anymore. Yeah. This is stuff he would, I'm a priest, but I'm not a priest anymore because I got excommunicated from the church. And we were like, No.
Also, like, weird flex, right? Like, I'm a priest, I'm a godly man, but oh, I got kicked out for molesting children or something. I'm not telling you exactly what.
Yes. And not to mention he's only like 24, right?
Yeah.
And we were all raised Catholic. My mom raised me and my brother's Catholic and stuff. So he's like, we're like, no, we kind of know a little. Just because we're not practicing doesn't mean we don't know how that works. And he's like, no, this is how it works. And I was like, all right, dude, whatever. I'm not going to argue with you. You can go ahead and tell
he's special,
your story
right?
How you want.
They fast-tracked him. He's special. He was so fucking all over it. He's so special. I mean, this is a manipulator, obviously. I mean, when you say an age difference like, what, 24 to 17, that's 7 years, my math, eh? I'm a fucking genius. And, but if, you know, say you're 30 and you meet a 23-year-old, that's a little bit different. But when you get down to 17, 16, that area, when you're in your 20s, there's a real maturity difference. And there's
exactly.
A real manipulation aspect that can happen in these situations, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. I didn't realize it then either because obviously I was still young. I was still the same age, you know, and you don't think about that stuff when you're that age.
No.
I'm 26 now. And right. now I can look back and think, wow, like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, it's not
but
that.
There's a reason why our parents had these rules.
Absolutely, and it's not that I'm mature. It's that it or sorry, it's not that I'm cool. It's that he's not cool. You know, like
yeah.
like you start to feel like, oh, I'm so cool because like I'm with somebody who's older than me. But in reality, at those ages, it's because the guy's not cool, and he's kind of it's predatory.
Exactly.
Often. Not all the time, but often. In this situation, it
right.
sounds
There's,
like it was.
You do hear those own stories where they're like, oh, well, I was 18 and my current husband now was 25. And, you know, we're married, we have kids and everything. And
yeah.
some situations do turn out that way. But
yeah.
I feel like a majority of them, I could totally be wrong, but a majority of them are not that
well,
way.
We're probably talking about the 1960s or something too, right? And when we're in the 2000s, things have changed quite a bit. Things
oh, yeah.
are a little bit different. So anyways, so your sister Brooke meets this guy, Charles Oppener. Am I, who cares?
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know why I'm being so hard on Charles because he doesn't get very, you know, treated very well in this situation either. But their relationship.
You know, honestly, if I'm going to be completely honest,
mm-hmm.
he was kind of trash in the first place. Anyways, he had two other kids with mm-hmm. another lady. He mm-hmm. never saw them.
Mm-hmm.
He just dipped out, never saw him, didn't do anything. So I don't know how, I feel like their relationship was strained. We never heard about his family, nothing. So I don't know what his deal was. I,
yeah.
personally, I don't like him.
Right.
But I'm sure his family will feel differently.
Mm-hmm.
And his kids and stuff. But I guess he never saw anyways, so.
Right. Right. But, you know, we're just trying to paint the picture here that your sister's in a relationship and she's actually pregnant at this time, 8 months pregnant. Is that by Charles?
Yes.
Okay. So they're pretty deep into a situation here around the time everything
mm-hmm.
gets fucking horrible. These are really sensitive things. And I mean, this is a real exercise for me talking to someone who is directly related to it. Because normally I could just be a dickhead about it and screw around and not care about what anybody's feelings are and just make money, you know, like, but this is really humbling for me. And I really appreciate this opportunity, Katrina, I really do. But I need to ask you some hard questions here. And if you don't want to answer them, that's fine. But or at least bring some things to light that I'm aware of now. Was Charles,
mm-hmm.
so Charles was doing something to make money off of your sister, was he not?
Yes, he was.
Hey, do you feel like talking about that? Are you okay with talking about that?
Yep, it's fine. It's already out there.
Okay.
It's completely, it's not anything that we're trying to keep hidden. It happened,
right?
Unfortunately.
Right.
But yes, he had her completely and totally convinced that the only way that they could support their baby was if she were to do sexual favors over Craigslist.
Over Craigslist.
And, yep, so they would post ads on Craigslist. Do you know what that is?
I don't know.
I don't know, like, if it's, okay. I'm not trying to be rude or anything by any means.
It was a little rude, Katrina. It was a little rude, but I'll get over it. we use cardboard signs in front of our houses, but, yeah, you guys use Craigslist. No.
No, I know you have internet and stuff. I just don't know if like they're saying things over there. I feel like it's pretty similar. But.
It's pretty similar. Now, there's something else.
Okay.
I think it's called Kijiji, actually. But so you can actually post on there and say, I think in this case, it was like, we need like... I'll say, I mean, your sister was saying that she needs $50 because they have bronchitis. And she has bronchitis, and everyone at the home does, and they need $50 for, what was it, for food or something like that?
Possibly. At this point in time, we were keeping in touch, but because she had moved out and she was like, oh, I'm going with him.
Yeah.
Since you guys don't like him, I'm leaving. We were strained for a minute, and then we were working on getting our relationship fired back up
yep.
when all of this happened. So we were on that point to getting back to where we were.
Okay, so I want to step in right here, and I want to talk about your sister a little bit more in a positive light, because I hate when, this is the true crime thing, you'll focus on something like that, and it's like, oh, I know this girl, but we don't. As you were saying to me back and forth,
mm-hmm.
can you tell me a little bit more about Brooke and what she was like?
Yeah, of course. she was funny. I thought so. Anyways, she had these quirky little, like, corny jokes, you mm-hmm. know, like dad jokes galore. She was super corny, incredibly smart, super, super book smart. In the age of, like, second grade, she was reading at a fourth grade level, if not higher.
Nice.
And she taught me cursive.
Wow.
And, like, we were the same grade and stuff, so she was, like, super. She was just flying through all this stuff.
Yeah.
And teaching me things that I had no idea.
She's teaching you how to swear, and you're a little bit older than her. And she's teaching you how to swear? I'm from Canada. I don't know what cursive. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, shit. Okay. But so she was incredibly smart. She loved her music.
Mm-hmm.
She felt a lot through her music. She was pretty diverse, but her favorite, I would say, was more of like the rocker style. She liked Bullet for My Valentine and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She really tried to be super diverse so the way she could connect with anyone and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, you know, she would be able to strike up a conversation. I mean, the girl would go into Barnes & Noble and spend all day there.
Oh, cool.
Start talking to random people, reading books. But like, as I said in one of the messages, you know, everybody says, oh, you know, that person walked into your room, totally lit up, and you just knew she was there. And
yeah.
So great, which, you know, with her, it was not that way. She was a fly on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
She liked to talk with you and connect with you, but she wouldn't make herself, like, known.
I get it.
She definitely had a heart of gold because my parents did this thing for us when our birthdays would come around.
Mm-hmm.
You would either get the choice to have a party or here's $100. We're going to go to the mall and you could blow it on whatever you want.
Right.
And all of us kids would go to either adventure, which one of us kids chose.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, we would all spend blow that $100 on ourselves because it's our birthday,
yeah.
Right? Why would we buy... My stupid little brother wants this $5 Yu-Gi-Oh card pack. Why? Now that's my money, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, she started this new trend. Oh, okay, guys, yeah. Katrina, sis, you like that? Sure, pick it. It's only $5. Go for it.
Oh.
Darius, the baby of our group, you want that? Sure, yep. As long as you guys keep it to a $5 thing, you can pick one toy. I'll share my money with you.
Yeah.
And mind you, there were five of us kids.
Right.
So she spent $20 of her money on us. And so then after that, we were like, oh, well, now we're going to be like Brooke and we're going to say we're nice.
Yeah. Yes. I get it. No, that's a really cool insight into the way that she was. Generous and felt like giving was just as good as receiving, obviously. And just a good kid. I mean, and now she's in this relationship with this older guy. Roped in, I guess, to a certain degree, and this is a harsh word to use, but he's basically pimping her, right?
Yeah,
like he is. I mean, so mm-hmm. he's getting her to post on Craigslist and the meetup somewhere and exchange whatever, and they'll make some money. That's terrible, the situation he was putting her in, especially when she's at this point 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, and I had no idea.
No.
About this, what she was doing, because if I would have known,
right?
I would have been like, oh, hello.
Of course.
Like, I know we're naive to the world, but still, that is not right. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
There are other ways. Tell him to get off his lazy ass and go get a job.
There. How about that? How about, I mean, put the robe and the little white thing around your neck again and try to make $50 a day pontificating at the local church. Oh, no, he got kicked out, though, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Excommunicated.
I wonder why.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So, oh, my God. So, all right. This is, the year is 2014. So... In 2014, I mean, with the internet and all that, we all were then, I think, very aware that it's pretty dangerous what she's getting involved in here. But she's got Charles kind of pushing her towards it. And when these situations would happen where they would go meet up with someone for money and whatever, he would come along with, right?
Yep, he was there. He would be there to watch and be the bodyguard or some bullshit, whatever.
Yeah. Right. And on this day, I'll jump right to it. I guess it was it July the 12th of 2014? It was midsummer, right?
I don't know the actual date because we were not informed. Like I said, me and Brooke would chat every once in a while.
Right.
And so we weren't informed until the day of mm-hmm. that they had found his body
mm-hmm.
and that she had been missing for 6 days. Because okay. it was normal at the time for me and her to go like a week or so without talking.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I'm going to jump to somebody else here real quick to set this up. There's a guy, his name is Brady Oestreich.
Mm-hmm.
He is, I guess, 31 years old at this time. And he's been taking advantage of people on Craigslist for a little while. Like I said in the beginning, I am really just diving headfirst into this. And I asked you beforehand if you're comfortable in talking about all this. And if there's anything that upsets you or whatever, and you want me to cut it, I will. But can I lean on you a little bit here for the information when it comes to this guy, Brady Oestreich, to set this up? I know that he like was into medieval shit and he was a lineman and he went around the world or around the country for work. But I mean, is there you must know quite a bit about this guy now.
Oh, one thing I did find that didn't sit right with me, and I just found this 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman that he met on a dating website.
Right.
And they like got together or whatever. And then he was keeping her tied to a bed and then in a dog
cage.
Kennel and kennel. Everything like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just, I guess, ran off one day while he was at work and then never really contacted him again and never went to the police about it, which I can understand her perspective. And I don't know if that's just somebody that needed a spot in the limelight for a minute or if that story was actually true.
Yeah.
Either way though, I mean, it sucked for her, but I also can understand why she wouldn't go to the police. Cause I've heard, you know, I listen to true crime all day, so I know how it is. You know, people get scared. They don't want to do that, but
yeah,
that happens. You go to the police to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
From happening.
And in that particular situation, from what I learned about it, I don't have the girl's name here or anything. I don't think it was shared. Was that there was kind of some weird kinky role play thing going on where she possibly was into, like, because he put her in a suitcase and put her in the trunk of his vehicle, she said, and then stopped it at some point, opened up the bag, and then sprayed some kind of shit into there that drugged her and just freaked her out. Like, he was doing all kinds of weird shit with this girl before she finally escaped him. And I think she was left to believe, from what is my understanding, that he manipulated her into thinking that she agreed to this, and it maybe if it went too far for you, then fine, go. That was my understanding. Well, of how he posed it to her and how she kind of accepted it.
Right. Yeah, I didn't read that much into it because honestly, when I first read that, I was like livid.
Mm-hmm.
And then but then I kind of sat back and I calmed myself down and I tried to think about it rationally and how she felt about it.
Sure.
And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I mean, I probably would have just ran off and went to myself. If that were to happen to me, I would have never, you know, well, probably not now, but at that time, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a weird, I think a lot of people, and I mean, there's even rape cases where people walk away from it and they don't go to the police. I mean, I think they do, hopefully they do so more nowadays because they know they'll be believed. But say back in the 70s, 60s, 80s, just felt like maybe they would be in a position where the police or investigators would be like, well, maybe you asked for it type of thing. And if there was some back and forth online, which likely there was in with this girl, if this even happened situation, maybe there was some stuff where she would look culpable or look like she was into it initially and it went too far. So she maybe felt like she didn't have a leg to stand on. But if she had have come forward, and this is where your frustration must come from, you got to be thinking that maybe he would have been a little shy to continue to do this type of thing.
Very possibly. Or maybe her case would have went further and he probably would have been in prison or jail or whatever.
Exactly.
But then again, people like this, as we know, as crime junkies,
mm-hmm.
they get off and on a technicality or whatever.
Yeah.
That, and then they're like, oh, shit. Look at what I just did. I got away with it.
Yeah.
I can do it again.
Right. And this time, I'm going to make sure I'm leaving no witnesses, which is often what happens. They'll ramp it up, right?
Escalation.
Okay, so your sister underneath Charles is kind of like pushing her and all that to do this. She makes this Craigslist post needing $50, and Brady Oestreich, who's 31, says, hey, he says he's 25 years old to her, and he says that he'd like to meet up with her in a park, Gezon Park, I think it's. Do you know this information?
I don't know the correct pronunciation of it. But oh, okay. Yeah.
It was a park.
I'm really bad at pronunciating.
Oh, you're bad at pronouncing it. I just fucked it up too.
I can't even say the damn word right there either, so it's fine.
I just said you're bad at pronunciating. Yeah, good job, Jack. Yes. So he says that he wants to meet up with them in a park, and for sex, I guess. And she goes with Charles and meets up, right?
Yep.
And then from there, my understanding is that. And you must know more about this than I do. He kills Charles.
Right off the bat.
Do you know how he killed him?
I believe, so I didn't look too much into this. From what I have read on it, though, from my understanding, is that he must have shot Charles in the head, because when they told us that he was dead, they didn't know how he died.
Right.
Because they only had... just the decapitated body.
Yeah, he cut his head off.
And no head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I want to know, I would like to know what time this happened. Like, see, so I've done some research into it, but not too deep of research into it.
Right.
And so I want to know how in the hell you go to a park with no witnesses and stuff. Well, maybe there was some, because obviously the police got on Brady's butt at some point.
Yes.
But like, and then just do this. Like, how ballsy are you? I can't even ask that question, because we know people can be ballsy. Yeah.
Yes, they can.
But to chop his head off and then discard of the head to where the police don't even find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
well, until a
couple years later.
Yeah, they found. What did they find? His head in 2019, I think. Skeletonized head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, that's an interesting detail there. He probably did shoot him in the head, and the reason for the decapitation was to get rid of the bullet, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe the bullet was in the head, and he didn't want the bullet to be traced somehow to one of his weapons. The guy had tons
traced
of weapons.
Back to, yeah, because he had a ton of them.
Yeah, along with swords and all kinds of weird medieval shit. The guy was into all kinds of... what would he would go to, like, those little parties in the woods where you pretend like you're back in medieval times.
Okay, so yeah, that is really weird, but listen.
You do it too?
So, not like that, I hope.
You're a LARPer?
I don't LARP, but we do have a medieval Renaissance festival here in Michigan.
Okay.
That's about 2 hours away from where I live, and... my family and I will get dressed up and we will go down and spend the day just kind of, you know, doing what that little medieval fair has to offer.
Okay.
My brothers, on the other hand, they go all weekend to LARPing sessions.
Oh, man. Good stuff.
So, yeah, it's weird, but also at the same time, it's kind of more creepy, like when this guy did what he did.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I mean, my girl is completely into this stuff. She likes World of Warcraft and all that shit. And, you know, if she could, she'd just be dressed up like a wench all day and, I don't know, serving me casks of old lager or some shit. But yeah, she's into it too. So let's not be too hard on that community. And I'll lay off shitting on him. Fuck this guy. So Brady meets up. We're thinking possibly shoots Charles, who is your sister's boyfriend, and then he takes your sister back to his house, correct?
Yes.
And there's video in the days leading up to this, the week before, he was taking video all through his house, and it's like him setting up some kind of fucking, like a dungeon, right?
Yeah. And I was kind of scared myself to watch, like, the actual video.
Mm-hmm.
because I wasn't sure, like, if Brooke would be seen on there. And I was like, oh, man, okay, I know what happened, and I know it's really messed up, but I don't know if I really want to see it.
Of course not.
I'm cool with talking about it. I'm cool with, you know, but looking and seeing it happen myself, that's not... That's a little too far.
God, yeah. Oh, my
God.
It makes sense. Makes fucking absolute sense. Even when I was looking at some of the stuff, I was like, God, I hope that I don't see. But, I mean, it was enough. What I saw was enough. I mean, this guy walking around, mm-hmm. like, you know, making sure he looks nice and all this shit, cleaning his ears in the mirror. And just looking at that area down there, it's a really shitty house, right? And he brings your sister down there, and I mean, I got to leave this up to you if you want to talk about this or not. What is, from your understanding, what happens to your sister?
I know, I can only assume
yeah.
that he had his way with her however he wanted,
mm-hmm.
did whatever he wanted to her,
yep.
and then kept her in that little dog cage. I know that she was in that at some point in time,
yeah.
I have heard. And then he must have felt the heat coming down on him.
Right.
On the 17th
yeah.
of July.
Yeah, and that was, he had her down there for like 5 days, right?
Yeah, was a minute.
Jesus.
Well, obviously not a minute, but a while.
Right. And... I mean, what is, there's so much that's disturbing about this, and I won't stay here too long with you because this is really difficult, I'm sure, for you and for, I'm sure you have family members listening and all that, and I'm learning on the fly here how difficult this should be, is she's 8 months pregnant. I mean, it's really uncomfortable from what I know. I mean, I have two kids, and I see how uncomfortable my girl got around that stage. For 5 days, we can assume being tortured in some ways, right? And you got this asshole with all this medieval shit, and he's shown with his previous victim that he'll go to certain lengths. I mean, this is really, really fucking bad. Really bad.
And
so during this time, are you guys aware that she's missing?
No. Okay. I mean, we thought it was kind of weird that she hadn't been posting anything on Facebook mm-hmm. or, you know... because we knew that she was pregnant, obviously. We shared our Netflix account with her.
Right.
And so, because our thought was, well, you know, she's pregnant. She's uncomfortable. She's couch surfing right now. We don't know where she is. Like, you know, so I knew they were kind of bouncing around. So, and obviously they were low on money.
Right.
And so for her not to be on Facebook for a minute, I would only assume... that, oh, well, you know, she couldn't pay her phone bill or whatever
yeah.
at that time.
For sure.
Or she was somewhere without internet connection for some period of time.
Yep.
You know, that happens.
For sure.
So I definitely did not think anything of it until I get the call, hey, your sister's boyfriend's dead and your sister's missing.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wow. Shit. Dude, yeah. So I hopped on Facebook and I looked at her account and I was like, wow, she really, like, yeah, I guess she hasn't posted anything in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, and at that age, it's not unusual for you not to talk to somebody, especially when they're with a guy and they're kind of off the radar for a little while, for them to just be doing whatever. Who knows what they're up to? They could have taken a trip somewhere. Like mm-hmm. you said, they could have been just looking for money or they're out of money and they're not in touch because they don't have a connection at the moment. Yeah, and then suddenly you get that phone call. I'm going to hop back here real quick to the scene where the cops, they're aware then at the fifth day. I believe that would be July 12th. I'm not sure. No, July 17th now.
Yep.
Right? Where they're actually outside of fucking Brady's house. And
yeah, which they did not tell us at all.
Wow.
And they told us what we were told is... So that day I had a job interview because I was working at a restaurant as a waitress.
Yep.
Night shift.
Denny's?
And I was going to pick up another job.
Denny's or Applebee's? Applebee's?
No, actually Big Boy.
I worked at Big Boy. Yeah. But I worked at Big Boy's too. Yeah.
No way.
I did. But I worked for a couple of gay guys and they rechanged the slogan to where thickness is an obsession. Was that your slogan? Or did they make that up?
I don't even know what the slogan is for Big Boy, but I mean, that one's a...
Not bad.
Interesting one.
Couple gay guys. So anyways, go ahead. So you were waitressing.
Yep. And I was like, you know, I just graduated high school. I'm going to pick up a second job, make a little extra money, and have fun.
Yep.
So I was on my way out the door to this job interview. And I get told, hey, we haven't heard from your sister in a while. I guess some cops are looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was told when I left. So I was like, oh, you know, whatever. Okay. I guess I'll message her on Facebook. I'll message her friends, shoot out a couple of texts to my friends that, you know, we're in contact with her and everything. And so I did. And I blew her Facebook up. I'm like, Brooke, this isn't funny. Like, what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just check in with me, whatever. And so I go to the interview. My phone is blowing up the entire time. Like, I got like 10 missed calls from my Uncle Tom, who was living with us at the time. So I leave the interview and hop in my truck. I call my uncle back and I'm driving back. And then I hear, hey, Charlie's dead and Brooke is still missing. And I was like, oh man. So I freak out at that moment. I'm like, I had to pull over to the side of the road because I was freaking out. I was bawling. I was crying. I was hyperventilating. And the first thing I do is call my work because I was scheduled to work that night. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to make it in. My sister's missing. Her boyfriend's dead. He's been murdered. Da 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 da. I don't really know what's going on. I'm going to go out and I'm going to look for her. I'm going to see if I can find her.
Right.
And it didn't come out as smoothly as that, for sure.
That was pretty good.
My boss was, well, thanks.
You're welcome.
But the actual phone call, I was like, my boss was like, who is this? And I'm like, Tracy, not.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know it's not funny.
Well, we're laughing way too much. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah, who reacts like that? What the fuck?
Well, that's what true crime people are like. I mean, the gallows humor and all that stuff. I mean, you laugh to stop from crying, right? It's the way you deal with these things.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate it. The way you deal with it. But continue, please.
So I did. And then we got home, switched out of my interview clothes on as fast as I could. I had the phone line going. I was calling up all my girlfriends, all of my friends from high school. I'm like, listen, all right, guys, Brooke is missing. Let's go. We're doing a search party right now from where Charlie's body was found.
Mm-hmm.
And within 20 minutes, our driveway was full of people. And we had a caravan going out to where he was last seen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We had flyers made up. We were posting all over Facebook. Like, I mean, for such a short amount of time, I'm like, damn, I am proud of us. Especially now listening to crime podcasts. I'm like, ooh, we didn't even wait a minute.
Yeah.
So looking back, I'm very happy that we did that so fast.
Yeah, you should be.
And so we were there. We were handing out flyers, knocking doors. So when I knocked on this one door to leave a flyer, and I was like, hey, so this happened. Have you heard anything weird? Have you seen my sister? And the guy was like, no, but the other night when I was out here letting my dog go to the bathroom, I thought I heard a gunshot.
Hmm.
And I was like, that's weird. And I just kind of put that in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like, oh, well, you know, whatever. Well, I heard his head was chopped off, so maybe that's what happened.
Right.
Naive to what happens in the crime world. I was like, well, of course he's dead. His head's chopped off. That's how he killed him.
Right.
That is. And so I was like, oh, you know, it's Grand Rapids. It's whatever. I'm sure you hear that shit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we continued, and this is where it gets kind of weird. So it started getting dark, and we were like, okay, let's head back. We're going to post more on Facebook. We'll do what we can from home. We're going to keep an eye on the news and stuff because this was all already spread all over the news,
mm-hmm.
everywhere. And so my mom, who is very directionally challenged, I love my mom. She probably is not going to listen to this, but I'll be mom if you are.
Yeah.
And she got turned around. And so we ended up in a McDonald's parking lot turning around. I run into the McDonald's. I'm like, hey, can I put this flyer up real quick? And they're like, yeah, sure. So I tape it on their door, and then I run back out, and then we go on our way. Well, we go to drive under this overpass. There's this on-ramp that we were not going on. We were going under it. But on the top of this on-ramp were a whole shit ton of police cars.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, my stomach dropped.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's weird. We're in a really shitty situation right now. My sister's missing. There's a ton of police cars. But I was like, no, that can't be. That's not connected in any way.
Right.
You know, it's fine. But like full body chills happened at that moment.
Yeah. And
so we just...
Sorry.
I was going to say,
yeah, that's all right. It's only my podcast and everything, you know. Let me talk a little bit. I'm an idiot for interrupting you right there. But was that so? Okay, is there more to that story that you wanted to complete? Because there's a tie in here to something that happens that I could possibly tie into this. If in fact what was happening up there is what I think was happening, was there a car crash
it
up
is.
There with a yellow vehicle?
It is.
Okay,
yep.
So if you don't mind, can I go back for a second?
Go for it.
Thanks, Kat. Or sorry, thanks, Trina. So back at the house, like we were saying, the cops are outside, and they've caught wind that it's possibly this Brady Oistreich who killed Charles. And they've caught on to the Craigslist shit, and they've connected it to a Facebook account, which wasn't his name, but it was connected to his name in some other way. And they've done their police work, and they think that they've got the guy, and they're waiting for a search warrant outside of Brady's house. And it is possible, and I'm sorry, Trina, that your sister is still alive when the police are outside of the house. Do you agree with me there, or am I wrong?
Oh, yes, I agree with you there, because at that moment, when we found that out, we were like, if they would have just went in and said, fuck that warrant.
Yeah.
Then she knows what could have happened.
Yeah. So
we've had all these thoughts before.
Right. So we assume that he becomes aware that they're out there, and he strangles your sister to death.
Yep.
And then he puts her into the back of his vehicle.
Not before he put her in a suitcase first.
Okay. He put her in a suitcase first, put her in the back of his car, and then he peels out, right? And while the cops are right there, and they begin chasing him.
Yep.
So what you saw when you were going underneath that bridge looking for your sister, you saw her killer with your sister in the back of his trunk not being arrested. He crashed while they were being chased. And you went underneath that overpass while that shit was going on?
I did.
Wow.
I didn't know it at the time.
Wow.
Like I said, I mean, I felt weird about it. I thought it was weird. But we just so happened to be going. I mean, there could be a possibility that it was a different wreck that we drove under.
I doubt it.
But exactly. I doubt it, too.
Yeah. Because it was that area, right? It was right in that area.
Yep, all in the same area.
And all at the same time. I mean, there was a bunch of, and you said there was a bunch of cop cars, right, up on the bridge?
Yeah, I don't really, I would like to say there was at least four of
okay.
them.
Okay, well that.
Maybe five. There was quite a few.
But that makes sense because, so they give chase, and then there's another responding unit because I saw, did you see the dash cam footage when they begin chasing him?
No, I didn't.
Okay, it's there.
I didn't even know that was out there.
It is. And you can see them chasing him down. And then another cop car comes in. So if there's only four or five cop cars there, it's like immediate. Like you were going underneath quite possibly 10 minutes after he had crashed and they had swarmed in on him. Because there was a shitload once they found out what was going on. Because once he crashed, he shot himself. Brady Oistreich shot himself in the car.
Yeah. Which, thankfully, he did, because I think my dad probably would have taken care of the situation himself, and then I would have lost both of them.
Right. No doubt. And, I mean, and it kind of wraps up. It doesn't wrap up there, because when they go into his house, they find this weird torture chamber shit, and then they find a map with all these points marked across the country, heavily in Michigan. And they're thinking, do we have an Israel Keys on our hands? Are these places where he raped or murdered other girls all over this map? You heard about that?
I didn't.
Yeah, there was all these push pins into different locations on a map down there.
Oh, my God. That is That's fucking wild.
Yeah. And but well, he traveled quite a bit with his job. He was like a lineman. But why would he have all these push pins in there, right?
Them pinpointed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to have to look into this case more because, like I said, I mean, to the audience when I first started here, I woke up and I had your message and I tried to work on it for a bit and I decided, hey, I just want to hit this head first and talk to you. And we went back and forth and you sounded so great and strong and all that. And I was like, let's just see how this goes. And I think it went pretty well. You're very brave for coming on and doing this. You are.
Thank you. I don't really talk about it much. Like when I told you that my boss, I've been working with the post office for 3 years, so mm-hmm. my boss didn't even know that my sister was dead.
Yeah, and you had to tell him.
How like little I really talk about it.
Yeah, and now here you're just straight up talking to me. Yeah, I really appreciate it. I mean, is there anything else you want to say about it?
Well. I would say that I know this sounds really weird, but listening to as much crime as I do, I feel like we're lucky in a way, knowing that we're not one of those that are waiting 20 years later to find an answer.
Right.
I mean, it all happened that night. We knew that night. We turned on the news and we were watching it. We were getting messages from people all over in the area like, oh, hey, this is what's going on. That's what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cop came to our door and we knew that night. So kind of like weird as that sounds, I'm thankful that we're not one of the
where I got dragged out
that get drawn out for like 20 years or whatever.
Yeah. And the guy could still be out there doing it to other people. All that kind of thing. Or he could be in prison and he could be doing appeals and you're having to show up to court and you're having to go through the proceedings and be there for your sister. All that could have happened too, right?
Yeah. So I am, as weird as that sounds, I'm super thankful that it was all, you know,
wrapped up there.
Cool. Yes, wrapped up.
Yeah.
Thank you for those wordings.
Yeah. Hey, you asked me to do a quote for your sister. This was her one. Was this her favorite quote or just one that she said to you? Where did you get this quote from your sister from?
That was going to be her senior year quote in the yearbook.
All right.
And I Googled it today to see if anybody else had used it for anything, but like nothing came up. So I was like, I don't know if she did it herself or if it's from somebody else. I will be completely honest, but I know she did. She loved that quote.
I looked it up too, because I was wondering if she got it from somewhere and I didn't find anything either. So at your request, I'll do it in my way. This is not me being a dickhead. Quote, live life loud. So when the silence falls, everyone will know you're gone. End quote. And that's from your sister, Brooke Slocum. May she rest in peace. And I really appreciate your time here today. This is one of those moments in my life where I won't forget this. And it's certainly a moment in my career that will likely change a lot of my sensitivity towards certain things that I do. And I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you. This was like, under the circumstances, it kind of sucks, but seriously, one of the best days of my life, not including my kids,
right?
You know, having them come to me. But this was really awesome for me too.
Oh, thanks, Katrina. And we'll send you off to that that Applebee's real soon as a thank you for myself. Anyways, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Katrina and I are going to talk a little bit longer here, but thanks for tuning in for this episode of Waking Up with Jack Luna. I hope you, I don't know if you can enjoy things like this, but somehow I really enjoyed this conversation. It was something else. I got to tell you, Katrina, before we go, if you had sent me this just as somebody, like as a listener of true crime and you weren't involved in this case, honestly, I would have looked at the details of this and had hesitation and been like, this is a little too much. And to do it in this way with you involved is much more powerful than anything I could have done and much more respectful, even though we laughed our fucking asses off the whole way through. We didn't laugh our asses off, but we giggled a little much, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were having
good though, it's fine.
Yes, it's just a coping mechanism. Okay, I mean, big love to you and your family, and thank you again for the opportunity. Okay, bye, everybody. Eyes cocked, doors locked. Stay paranoid.